welcome to round 15 of the Westlife podcast for the 2020 season. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter via at WestlifePod. Like us on Facebook.com/WestlifePod. And of course, if you'd like to support and be a part of the show, just like our guest later in the show is, check out Patreon.com/WestLife. My chat with Aaron later in the show, but if you haven't already, and I assume you have because our episode last week went absolutely bananas, as Tony Gregg used to say. My chat with Rob Bishara was mostly well received, but it was definitely well talked about, and I can tell you it was the most downloaded episode we've ever had. So thank you very much to Rob for coming on the show and absolutely going hammer and tongs on the club management and the dire situation with the club finds itself in. So if you haven't, I assume you all have, because the numbers are amazing for that episode. But go back and have a listen. On today's show, not quite as intense, back to a little bit more normal proceedings. I've got some news, some Patreon shout-outs, and then a preview for the game against the Roosters. And then I'm going to finish the show with a chat with Aaron, mate for the podcast, just about possible signings and where the club could possibly go in 2021 and 2022. So let's do it. So before we get into the news, as always, I'm going to start with some Patreon shout-outs. Now, I asked the guys to contribute what they thought the club could do in the future and that sort of thing, going with the theme of the show. So Aaron obviously doesn't have a comment this week because he's going to have a chat with me later in the show. But Fred this week, he said, "I just think we keep investing in juniors with potential and need to realise that while some of these juniors may be ahead of their age group at the time, these juniors may have also hit a ceiling or close to it in terms of their development. Sometimes we just need to invest in proven names. In my opinion, Little will be good enough at 9. We need a specialist fullback, a fast game-breaking winger and a quality forward. Brooks seems to have a real lack of self-belief and confidence, which he has struggled with for years, particularly when he is partnered with a more senior half. I think he'd be better with Billy partnering him in the half." Obviously, Billy Walters, Fred means there. "If we are keeping Dwayne at fullback, he needs to build on his pace." Yeah, fair enough, Fred. Apparently, Adam Dwayne has been getting injections, someone told me on Twitter the other day, to play. So it looks like he's playing a little injured. So the fact he doesn't look fully fit is, it could be a big reason why he's, he hasn't got that quite the toe that he had earlier in the year. So on to the news. Oh, patreon.com/WestLifePod if you'd like to get involved with the show. It's just a couple of bucks to cover the cost of the show and that sort of thing. If anyone's new and a new listener, check it out, please, if you can. On to the news. So, of course, the biggest news that's dropped for the club this week is Chrissy Lawrence has announced his retirement at the end of the season. And, of course, he's played 250 games as of the Knights game last week. He's not picked this week, so it might be not many games over 250 in his career. But as I tweeted after he announced his retirement, there probably isn't a player in the modern era that deserved to get into a grand final that hasn't than Chrissy did. He played for the same club for so long, and not to get to rep the team he was loyal to in a grand final kind of sucks. He got close in 2010, 2011, obviously. And he probably should have played State of Origin too. But, I mean, it was the hip injury suffered against the Raiders. I'll never forget that night in Campbelltown, 2011. And that it really took that burst of speed that he had. He was just absolute gun centre, and I think people kind of forget just how good he was. One of the best in the competition over those seasons, 2009, 2010, and into 2011.
Now, that injury was only his 93rd game of first grade, and he'd already scored 54 tries in his career. So after that injury, obviously doing the maths, there's 157 games. He only scored 30 tries. So obviously moving to the back row, score a little bit less tries, but it just shows how much, what could have been with Chrissy Lawrence. Mid-2005, he moved in the back row. The first game, actually, I looked up which was the first game he actually did move in the back row. And if anyone remembers Campbelltown, the loss to the Cowboys, 8-0, a Cowboys without Jonathan Thurston, because, of course, he never beat us in Sydney. But, I just remember that game being really, really boring. But that was, in fact, Chrissy Lawrence's first game in the forwards, but I digress. But he turned into a really tough back rower, even though he lost that burst of speed. He became a tough player as well. And despite only being 32, he's a few years younger than me, so it kind of makes me feel a little old seeing that he's retiring. But his body does seem to have had enough, and especially after that freak head injury he had in preseason last year, where it absolutely shattered his face to the point where he looks completely different. And I'm sure the fact that he's got his one well-being business off the field, in my opinion, he's one of the most intelligent, well-spoken rugby league players, and with all respect to footy players, but if you introduced him to a non-footy fan, you could probably say he's an accountant or an engineer, and they'd probably believe you. He's just such a smart, intelligent guy for a footy player. And I've no doubt he'll be successful post-career with that business and whatever he really puts his mind to, because he's a great bloke as well. It's unlikely to hear this, but Rowdy, you are an absolute legend of the club, and we all love you and who you are, and you would not be forgotten by us fans anytime soon. Hopefully we get a few more memorable on-field moments with you for the rest of the season, but all the best in your post-football endeavours. So on to some other news. So obviously we didn't have a regular episode last week, so a couple of these news items are over the last week or so. So there were reports a bit last week that the club is shopping around Joshy Reynolds and Moses Mbai, and basically saying we'll pay half of the salary to take them. I mean, that situation is not ideal, but I mean, if we can take those salary, Moses Mbai and Josh Reynolds' salary combined, considering you get two halves, make a whole, and get someone elite, I mean, it could be worth it. But Moses looked okay against the Dogs. Moses Mbai isn't a bad player, it's just he's on too much money. But if that means we can get a Josh Adokar, or who's apparently looking between us and the Bulldogs, rather than South Sydney as everyone expected. That's what the Daily Telegraph was saying anyway. But maybe, who knows, if it frees up a bit of cash. Josh Reynolds has 1 year left in his contract. Moses Mbai would be paying half his salary for two more years. So I don't know, maybe try and pay Josh Reynolds a go this year. Maybe Moses Mbai in 2 years' time, maybe give Moses another year to kind of improve. But who knows, that's for the club to decide, not me. But the club apparently has said they'll pay half his wage to go elsewhere. And Moses Mbai, being I think he's from the Sunshine Coast, originally the Gold Coast Titans are interested for him to play hooker in place of Nathan Peets, apparently. So two more venues were confirmed last week for, obviously one of those is the Roosters. We're playing at Leichhardt this week, and next week we're playing the Penrith Panthers in, no surprises, in Penrith. So the following ones haven't been released just yet, but the club did say that this weekend will be the last Leichhardt game of the year. So the Souths and the Eels games likely to be at Bankwest. I'd really like the Parramatta game at the end of the year to be at Campbelltown for Chrissy Lawrence's farewell, though. That would make way more sense than playing Parramatta at Parramatta. Again, as much as I like that stadium, I don't like playing Parramatta there. Yeah, the West Tigers, Harvey Norman, New South Wales Women's Premiership side, they got their first win of the season last week against the Dogs. They won 32-20. So, yeah, well done to the girls on that one. Also last week, New Zealand Limited randomly dropped a story about former Aussie cricket captain Michael Clarke. He was approached to join the West Tigers in some sort of, role, coaching role somehow. But, obviously Pup's a Magpies supporter from way back. So, and obviously a West Tigers, pretty passionate West Tigers fan now. So, yeah, but Pup, if you're listening, there's zero chance that you are, but wouldn't mind getting him in on the Westlife podcast for a chat one day. We've had the Blue Wiggle. Why not get the former Australian cricket captain? Who am I kidding? He's not listening. So the talk about Madge and his intense training kind of died down a little bit. Apparently, on the way home from the Knights game, they got a couple of cartons of beer and kind of lightened the mood after that massive loss. So who knows, that might have helped with the win over the Bulldogs last week. So apparently senior players approached Madge and said he needs to lighten the mood up with the whole COVID thing. So it wasn't so much training too hard. It was more the social aspect that the players basically have to train and go home and that's it. They're not allowed out to do anything at all. So, it's different times, and it's not about the players being soft about training. They've got no lives at the moment, and even though they're living the dream of playing first grade rugby league, it'd be tough. Just they can't go out and do normal things at the moment. So, maybe Madge making things a little bit more fun, which he did, by the sounds of it, just before the Bulldogs game last week, and it might have helped get us a win, although beating the Bulldogs isn't really a good yardstick. Just a weird comment from Brad Fittler. Freddie Fittler is known for his weird comments, but he said the West Tigers in general have a bit of an identity crisis on Channel 9. And he says, I don't know why they haven't embraced Campbelltown more. That I agree with Freddie. He said, until you go to the masses and celebrate being out there as a team from the West, I find it hard to ever see the West Tigers ever becoming anyone of real strength. They just don't have the fan base and the support. So whether he means out West, I don't know. But we're one of the most supported teams in the league, membership of over 20,000, so I'm not sure why someone who played at the Roosters and Panthers would say we don't have a lot of fans. We've probably got more than those two clubs combined. That's the news for the week. Our game preview is next. So, Sydney Roosters at Leichhardt Oval, 5:30 p.m. this Saturday night. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the club mentioned this will be our last game at Leichhardt Oval of the year. So, that obviously means Souths and Para, the home games later in the year, would likely be at Bankwest. And as I said, I hope Campbelltown is the venue for that Para game. For Rowdy's farewell, and also Para locked us out of their home game at Bankwest, so screw them. Wherever we play, I hope we lock them out. But even if it's a meaningless game by them. But back to this weekend, we are playing the Roosters, as I said. Our team list is the exact same 17 as we saw against the Bulldogs, but in saying that, Alex Twoll and Thomas McKayley are in the 18 and 19 jerseys, respectively. And I would expect if they're ready to go, Madge would bring them in. Maybe Elijah Taylor and Alex Seathlaugh drop out. I'm not sure who would drop out, to be honest. But I would say those two would play. Now, the Chooks, they've welcomed back a couple of key players. Now, Jared Warrior-Hargraves is pretty important for them. That's a big in for them. Brett Morris He's playing pretty good. Kyle Flanagan is back from being dropped because Luke Keary went down last week. So, but no Keary, obviously no Crichton. Lamb's injured, Orbison's injured, Tupou's injured, who for whatever reason just carves us up every time he plays against us. So, of course, our old mate James Tedesco is still playing, so shutting him down will be a key to winning this one. Hopefully, yeah, he's been slightly quiet for his standard lately, so fingers crossed that kind of stays. And they've still got guys like Jake Friend, Takiaho is pretty good, so their four packs still pretty good. So hopefully Josh Yalaya and Russell Packer can get stuck into them and win the grind for us. But yeah, we really need Alex Twole out there for a chance. My guy Sean Bloor is not in the squad again this week, which sucks. As my regular listeners will know, he's my guy, and I'm a big fan of Sean. Love every minute that he's played this year. But he's not in there for discipline reasons, I believe. So his best mate is Ratu Nonovo. I think I pronounced that correctly. He's the young man who, after a game of footy last week, decided to stab an opposition player in the car park after a brawl in the game. Very, very dumb, stupid thing, and he's probably going to go to jail for that because, yeah, you can't just pull a knife on someone. But, so Sean's, apparently he went with him when he was arrested, went to the station with him and that sort of thing. So, and of course he put on an Instagram post supporting him. Now, I'm not sure if Madge has dropped him for discipline for basically being a part of that incident. Well, he's not a part of the incident, but supporting his mate through such a serious incident, or if it's the fact that he broke the bubble restrictions to go with his mate to the station, apparently. So I would say it's more of a bubble thing because he could have put the team in jeopardy by being out there and getting COVID. And that sort of thing, you know, the whole thing that we're living through this entire year. But I can't wait till life goes back to normal. We don't have to worry about that. But it's going to be a thing for a while yet. But fingers crossed, Sean Bloor will be let back in the side by Madge next week when we play against his old team, the Panthers, which will be pretty spicy. So this Chooks game, the bookies were around the $3 mark and getting about a 6.5 start. So that's shortened a little bit since the team lists were announced and found out the Roosters didn't get quite all their gun players back. But with those players out and the Leichhardt factor, and there's still a little bit of hope in our season. Hopefully the boys turn up and put in a good fight and don't just lay down against the Chooks. I think it could be close. That start could be manageable, a 6.5 start. I can see us losing by like a goal or something. Fingers crossed, Moses kicked pretty good last week, so fingers crossed he can replicate that again this week. But maybe gain some confidence. A lot of goal kicking is confidence. So fingers crossed it's not down to goal kicking. Maybe it's all hopefulness. I don't know. I'm fearing it though, because not so much because of form, but we never beat the Roosters. I tell this story a lot, but every time we play the Roosters, we beat the Roosters the night before my 21st birthday. It was fantastic. Most of my family are diehard Tigers fans, so it was great celebrating the night after a win over the Roosters. We've only beaten them 3 times since my 21st birthday. I'm 32 years old now. So that kind of, more than a decade older and literally just 3 wins in all those years. So I think that curse will run until I'm 40. But I think get us into the start. Who try scorer for the week? I'm thinking Luciano. I keep picking the wrong back rollers. I know I said Luciano last week. Well, I was going to say Luciano last week. That's the bet I did put on. I obviously didn't have a bet of the week last week because we didn't have a show. I put money on Luciano Leilua last week to get a double. And, of course, Luke Garner, the other second row, got the double. But I can see Luch getting over for us. It's meant to be cold and windy, so it might not be an overly high-scoring game. But so it might be a game of the forwards. I mean, Nofaluma is a soft bet, a safe bet to score a try. He's just been an absolute gun this year. But either way, I think we can keep it close. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a win, obviously, to keep our season alive, even though it's pretty much dead and buried. But, yeah, anyway, I'll see you guys out there at Leichhardt if anyone is heading out to the game. Tickets are on sale for members now, if you've got your code, so check that out on westtigers.com.au. Now, to finish the show today, I have a good little chat with our Patreon member, Aaron Thompson, and we talk about a few players maybe the West Tigers should look at signing. So let us know if you agree or disagree. And at the end of the day, that yeah, it's just an opinion. Same with Rob Bishara's episode last week. I'm sure there were plenty of people that disagree with what he said. I didn't agree with everything he said, but yeah, it's always good to have a chat. And at the end of the day, it's just rugby league, and there's much more serious things in life to get angry about. But feel free to hit us up on Westlife Pod on Twitter if you disagree or have any suggestions on players that Aaron and I might have missed. But yeah, enjoy the weekend, guys. Hopefully we get the win. Yeah, enjoy my chat with Aaron right now. Now, just take into account that my chat with Aaron was, in fact, last week before the Bulldogs game. So a few things we say might not make so much sense since, yeah, we did get the win over the Bulldogs and a few other things that have changed since then. But either way, it's just a chat about the future of the club. So enjoy the chat with Aaron, and I'll see you at Leichhardt on Saturday. As always, go the Tigers. So, Aaron, what do you think, any ideas on where the West Tigers go from here? What can we do to dig us out of this hole, do you reckon?
Honestly, I think we need to make a few signings, probably mostly in the forwards.
Yep.
I've had a look over the last couple of days at the list of off-contract players, and unfortunately, the list for this year, especially forward players who aren't what people would say retirement age.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones we seem to have been signing lately. There aren't too many on the list that, you know, strike you as a player that we'd probably want to bring to the club. Main one, I guess, I can think of at the moment is Jimmy Tamo.
Yeah, how old is he? Did you look up?
I didn't actually check that out. I can quickly pull that up on my phone. Yeah. 31. He's going to be 32 at the end of the year.
That's not too bad. I mean, he's obviously past his prime. Oh, he's born the same year as me. Look at that. He's Chris Lawrence's age, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't be a bad signing. I don't think he'd be a good leader. Maybe for a year or two. I mean, 31, he's not going to retire. You wouldn't retire at 31 unless you're kind of like Chrissy Lawrence. If his body still feels good, 31's not old anymore. So, I don't know. On a friendly deal, I wouldn't be unhappy with that. I just obviously don't give him a Moses Mbai contract. But,
or a Russell Packer.
Yeah. But, yeah,
he's really
playing well
this
year too. So yeah, we need a leader, a good front row. He's played tests. He's playing pretty well this year, and he's looking pretty fit. So I mean, a bit of leadership from someone like that would definitely help. I reckon I wouldn't. Yeah, wouldn't be unhappy for a cap friendly couple of years from James Tamo. Absolutely. Anyone else on your radar?
And yeah, while I'm trying to find this other one, the other thing I was thinking of, while while James Timo's here, if it is like a 2-year contract, that does give some of our younger forwards a bit of a chance to grow and learn from him, and then they can take over. They can take the mantle once he does retire or
absolutely, finish his career. I think that's a big problem with our team at the moment. It's just experience. It's just making young kid errors. Thomas McKayley, I rated highly, but he's starting to frustrate me a bit. He's very prone to making an error, and I feel like he's a great athlete, but he just has to get those mistakes out of his game. Just does a he's almost a Fifita type, a mini Fifita. Sometimes he can do great things and then does some things that makes you scratch your head that a professional NRL player could do. But
I've noticed he's pretty prone to making a few errors like shortly after he comes onto the field.
Yeah, so definitely we need a front rower that leads from the front, is reliable, and I think James Tamo definitely fits that mould. Anyone else? Did you find that list?
Guerra. He's the same age as Tamo, but he'd help us out in the second row.
He's been pretty quiet. I don't watch a lot of Knights games, but it's amazing. You think these guys, he's played Origin. Possibly. There's, like you said, there's not a lot of players off contract next year. It's actually it's not a big pool to choose from. So
Exactly.
I'm kind of the mindset that we go hard for 2022 when Packer, Reynolds, a couple of guys are off contract. But
I'm thinking pretty much the same thing. By 2021, Madge can start to build his squad for beyond that. But 2022 is probably where we're looking at as being a genuine chance.
It's sad to think because we've still got another 6 weeks to 6 weeks, is it round 14? 6 weeks to sit through this year, and then next year it might be another mediocrity year as well. I mean, in saying that, our young guys will be a year older. Maybe Jacob Little could hold on to his body because he's still signed for next year and become a decent hooker if Harry Grant most likely will leave. So, it's hard, isn't it? Any ideas for 2022?
If you were to think of a position other than maybe like the front rowers, where do you think we'd probably want to look as well?
Well, you probably heard what I think we should do for 2022, and I keep harping on about it, and many people disagree, some agree. I think we go after James Tedesco. I think we have to. We have to have a try to bring him home. So he's off contract 20. This is if the Roosters don't extend. They said they're going to throw him $1 million a year for 3 years on a Fox Sports article. Man, I would throw him between 6 and 7 over 5. I just throw him a contract that will set him up for pretty much the rest of his career. And yes, he on the back end of that deal, he might not be the player he was, but at least for the first 3 years, he's still getting the best fullback in the world back at the club. He might bring other signings with him. 2022, like I said, Pack and Reynolds are off contract, and that's probably, $1.5 million?
Yeah.
In that, if you could just straight up swap Josh Reynolds and Russell Packer for James Tedesco, would you say no?
I wouldn't.
I don't think any person would. So that's pretty much, if their two salaries go to him, obviously there's other guys for us that are off contract next year that we have to extend, like Sean Blaw.
LIA.
Yeah, LIA. There's a few, I think Noffa's
off contract next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of big decisions to be made.
Cheekham and Little as well. You'd want to keep those two around?
Those are basically contracts they got to earn. I love Lids. I'm massive for Lids, as long-time listeners we'll know. I think next year, contract years, I wouldn't put it this way. I wouldn't extend their contracts yet. That does put him in danger of getting signed elsewhere. If Cheekham signed elsewhere, as much as I love him as a good human, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be one that we regret that much. So I think go, not in comparison to some of the others we have over the years, but Lids, I think, can definitely play his way into a contract. And I think
his body just needs to.
I feel like
he fixed up, really.
I feel like he'd be happy with just another contract.
Even if it's like another year, just to see if he can get that stability in his body, because that's the main thing that he really needs. It. I'm stoked to see him in the team list for this weekend.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm excited to see him. I think he's a great player. I've rated him highly, and it's, I just hate our fans bag him out. Or any player that just has injuries and fans just, it's not like he wants to be injured. They can't really help it, so. I think he's a player, man. I think he's exciting, and he's not Harry Grant, but I think Harry Grant's going to be the best hooker of the next generation. But he offers something. He's just got to stay fit, and he was playing pretty good before he went down injured. So
yeah, that was an absolute freak accident too. I was there at Lotto Land when it happened. It was just an absolute freak accident.
Yeah, he's just this unlucky. He's just got a bit of the Moulton curse, I guess. But fingers crossed it doesn't end up like Timmy did. But yeah, any other 2022 guys or positions or something you'd aim for?
Well, I was actually back to the 2021.
Okay.
Young Cade Cust from Manly.
Okay.
Assuming Benji retires at the end of this year, he'd probably be a good one to fill in a bit of a void in the halves. I've seen a fair bit of him in Manly games, and he looks solid.
Yep.
For a young kid.
Yeah. Another half, Matt Burton at the Panthers is pretty solid. I mean, again, they're kind of contracts that you'd kind of hope they take to the next level playing for Mads or something. They're not elite signings either way. I don't know too much about K-Cast, to be honest, but I haven't thought about him at all. So he's obviously off contract this year.
This year, yep.
And he's obviously behind Cherry Evans in the pecking order over at Manly, so...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something to keep an eye on.
The other one I was thinking, who's off contract this year, obviously there's a lot of uncertainty around him, but Jack DeBellin, if he was to be cleared, is he the sort of player we'd want to go after?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all obviously down the... his court case, which is a very, very serious matter, and if he's found guilty, he will go to jail.
Yep.
Well, he'll go to jail, let alone. But yeah, I spoke to someone who is on the board of the Dragons. This was ages ago. This is like back. It's been dragging on for so long. It'd be over a year ago. He told me this. I don't know if things have changed, but he told me that he brought evidence to the board that he was innocent. So, that's why the Dragons are a bit annoyed that he's not been allowed to play, because they're pretty sure that he's going to be found innocent. But that's, things could have changed. He might have been making it up. It could have been who knows what. Like, it's just
very, very difficult subject.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm trying to not give one opinion on whether he's guilty or not guilty, because it's nowhere near our job to do so. So, if found guilty, absolutely. I would love him at the club. But if found guilty, and he is guilty, then I hope he goes to jail for what he did. I guess.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Someone else in the forwards from 2021, off contract 2021, Nathan Brown.
Would he come home?
Yeah. There are a few players like that who you'd wonder if they'd actually want to come back.
Yeah.
But then again, if you go for a player like Tedesco, then get one brilliant player.
Yep.
Other players might come along.
Yeah, he's part of that gang, that generation. Yeah, they're all mates with each other. Great player. I don't think Parramatta will let him go. Oh, I even thought Parramatta had extended his contract. I think it came out the other day. He was about to sign on.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah, I'm sure I read somewhere that he's going to extend his contract with Parramatta. But great player, another player that we let go before his his prime. So I try and see if I can extend his contract till the end of 2021. That's on the Eels website. So no, he's got an option to extend. So they've got an option to extend to 2021. That's on the Eels website from 2018. So, yeah, I'm sure I read. Okay, so it must be a player option. I thought I read that he had signed on. But, I mean, if he wanted to come home, absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. For definitely a bit of grunt. It'd be interesting rocking up the training and training alongside Sean Blore, but yeah.
that'd be quite interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, don't forget we've got Stefano Utoi Kamano coming next year as well. But him and Blore had a bit of a rivalry in the flags when Blore was at Penrith too, apparently. So that'd be interesting. But he's a gun in the making too, hopefully. So
absolutely,
yeah, we can't forget that he's coming along in the forward pack next year. Anyone in the backs, you think? Apart from my Tedesco dream.
Yeah. I mean, dreams can come true.
Yeah, not for Tigers fans usually, but yeah, any backs you think? Is there a position? What position do you think? Obviously, the halves is a big one. I mean, Brooksy signed for 2 more years. I think with Brooksy, it's a matter of, I'm a Brooksy apologist and I'll stand on that. He's not playing very well this year, but I think if you put a good organising half with him, I think he can be good. Like, I think if you put him with, say, a Nathan Cleary, what's another good half? Another good organising half in the comp. I mean, a Cooper Cronk sort of mould player, I think he'd play really well.
Yeah.
But he's just, yeah, I don't know, he just seems a bit lost at the moment. I think he needs that partnership. He's had great years with certain halves partners and when the forwards go well. But, yeah, what are you thinking for the backs?
Probably someone to fill maybe a role in the centres.
Okay. Well, don't forget we've got Mogorowski coming back next year.
Yeah, we got Mogorowski coming back.
BJ would be the other centre? Or would you push Momo to the wing?
I'd probably have Momo on the wing.
Yeah.
I think he'd probably do a better job on the wing as opposed to in the centres, maybe.
Yep. He did a great job for us on the wing last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he kicks goals, which helps. Well, man, he didn't kick goals very good for us last year, but anyone's going to be better than Moses Mbai. Need someone else. Maybe Momo's the answer coming back next year. So if you're saying we need another centre, what do you do with Tommy Talau then? If you push Momo to the wing? I would say Nofa has the other one locked up.
Yeah, it's really tough in that sort of back five because we do have good players there.
There's no superstars yet.
I mean, Noffa's having a career best year, in my opinion.
And I mean, yeah, he can we almost call him a superstar this year. He's been fantastic. So,
what is he? I think he's still second or equal third on the try scorers for the year.
Yeah, and just his meterage and just it's not just scoring tries. He's doing a lot beyond that too. So I think Tommy Talau might move into the forwards eventually. I mean, he was a 5'8 as well. So maybe Tommy Talau could be the halves answer, perhaps. I don't know. But, yeah, he played six in his juniors, I believe. So maybe he moves into the halves. Yeah. Is there any outside backs or a back signing that you had in mind?
Not really, actually. I was having a look through the list and there weren't particularly any names that really jumped out to me.
Mm.
Obviously, Josh Adokar is off contract 2021, but chances are he's coming back to a Sydney team next year, which by all reports is going to be the Bunnies.
Reports, or is people just think that's going to happen because it seems like a logical...
A little bit of both, I think. I've seen a few articles here and there saying that's where he's going. A good friend of mine who's a Souths fan said the whole reason why they're not offering Alex Johnston a contract for next year is to have the money for
Adokar.
To bring Adokar there.
I think the Tigers are going to have a crack at him. I think I know they're definitely interested. The word is that we're interested. So
why wouldn't we be?
Yeah, it's the thing is about the West Tigers is we can be interested in a player, but not many are interested in coming to us, unfortunately. And we continue to play like we are. It's not becoming enticing. I mean, at least we've got the new facilities that should be built by the start of next preseason, I think, at Concord. Unless COVID's kind of slowed that down a bit. But, we haven't really found any answers, Aaron, but plenty to talk about and keep an eye on. Any other than player signings, any reason or anything you think that could make us a bit more hopeful for 2021?
Probably locking in Madge. I think having the stability of the coach as well is pretty important, and we've seen the last. I guess since after what was his name? Sheens. After Sheens left, we've kind of had a bit of a coaching merry-go-round and we haven't really been able to stick with one for more than, I guess, 2 to 2.5 seasons. So
yeah. It's been an absolute revolving door, the coaching job. And I think... there's a story came out of Fox today that that Hooper reckons Madge might be overtraining him, but Leilua, I think Luciano came out and said, they're not. And if Leilua was saying that the training's not too hard, then it can't be that hard. So
exactly.
I think it's a culture in his club. As he says himself, there's a culture in the club and he's trying to turn it around. So... absolutely, we've got to lock in Madge, and I've got all faith.
Me too.
Can you believe that there were people? I mean, I can believe it because what comments will you like never see from Tigers fans on social media? But people saying to sack Madge, like, can you fathom that having that opinion?
No, honestly, I can't. The whole thing the club needs is consistency, not just consistency on field, but consistency off it. And you're not going to have that off field consistency if you've got a revolving door of coaches.
Yep.
We can have a coach in for about, maybe 3 weeks or so, and all of a sudden there's a big loss and the fans are saying, sack the coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only been there for not even a month. And people already want him out the door.
Yep.
Yet we're never going to have consistency on the field if we can't have consistency off it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've got to lock him in. He's the man for the job. And who are you going to replace him with? Like, people saying Todd Payton, and I know that's a great story, him being a club legend and all, but Michael Maguire's got runs on the board.
He's exactly.
regarded around the league as one of the best coaches, and yeah, rightly
so. You see what he did with Souths when he was there.
Yeah.
Second or third season, he got them the premiership. So
exactly. So I think as much as dire as it looks at the moment, got to give him time. You got to give him time. And the Ivan Cleary contracts, he might just look at those and go, mate, what have you left me with? And fingers crossed he sees the light at the end of the tunnel as well and signs on rather than looking elsewhere. But yeah, by all reports, Lee and the West Tigers team are going to get that sorted soon. So fingers crossed. Aaron, thanks heaps, man, for coming on the show and trying to put a bit more cheer in the West Tigers fans. I know, I hope we did. I mean, we didn't really come with a solution, and it's not really our job to anyway. But I guess all we can do is keep dreaming.
Now things will get better.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.